As fires raged through LA earlier this year, the firefighting teams were handcuffed. Not by lack of water or poor forest management, but by something even more basic.
Dozens upon dozens of emergency vehicles, engines, ladders, ambulances, all of them sitting here instead of out on the front lines.
Around 100 of LA's fire vehicles were sitting here on this lot, out of commission. But this wasn't just bureaucratic mismanagement. The truth, it's much more cynical.
A group of financiers came together, bought up a large number of the sources of fire trucks, set up a bottleneck on fire trucks, and then used it to be able to rob the taxpayer blind.
And now, towns across America are dealing with the same crisis. One where something as basic as fire departments with working trucks has become a luxury we apparently can't afford. Someone is benefiting.
Sacrificing public safety over profits now, and when is enough profit enough?
Meanwhile, Americans are stuck paying twice. First with our wallets, and then with our safety. I headed to Salem, Arkansas, because I had heard about a $1 million fire truck that couldn't fight fires.
This truck was out of service for 10 months. Could not drive it.
That's Salem Fire Chief Gil Carpenter. After 30 years on the force, Gil's witnessing something unprecedented. When fire trucks break, communities can't fix them.
They couldn't get the springs, is what they told us. We would drive it, but it had to be driven really slow. It just road walked real bad.
Had to do a fire going 15 miles an hour.
Took longer. The other trucks were passing it.
I mean, me and my bike could pass it.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
10 years ago, the part would have arrived in days. But that's just part of the crisis.
Truck sitting behind me in 2016 cost us $350,000, and I priced it right at $1 million now for the same truck.
That's nearly a 3 times cost increase. I'll explain why this happened later. But even communities that can stomach the cost increases now face a brutal reality. The wait time tripled.
I've heard upwards of 36 to 48 month delivery time.
It's forcing local governments into impossible choices.
There's only so many pennies in the piles, what I tell them, and you just move the pennies around to make things work.
So where are we right now?
We're right here in the central part of Saline County.
And what other areas are experiencing these same kind of issues?
Oh, it's not just confined to this county, it's to everybody. This impacts rural America, the big cities, everybody.
It's all connected. Cities can't get new trucks, which means small towns can't buy their hand-me-downs. In rural communities, Gil told me they're piecing together 50, 60-year-old trucks, and no one can get parts for repairs.
We're running the same issues with these trucks as we are the big trucks. It doesn't matter size or anything, it's just getting parts for them.
The question is, who's profiting from the chaos?
So the story starts with a private equity fund called American Industrial Partners.
That's Basil Musharbash. He's a lawyer who brought this scandal to the forefront.
They took an interest in the market because, for reasons that I think anybody can understand. Fire trucks are always needed. There's always a taxpayer who can pay for it.
For most of its existence, the fire truck industry was fairly regional.
It used to be a competitive industry. It used to be an industry of small business. We had rules in place that made sure that those competitors couldn't just merge with each other to avoid competition.
Wall Street, however, didn't see fire trucks. They saw dollar signs. And the math was brutal. Equipment that needed to last 20 years versus investors demanding returns in 5 to 10.
I mean,
this mismatch became an opportunity.
If you are a private equity fund and you're thinking about how can I generate the maximum amount of return for my investors, one way to do it, and one way that private equity groups often use, is that they buy up a large number of the suppliers of a product, and then they use the absence of competition to raise prices.
It's called a roll-up. First, E1 in Florida. Then, KME, who built the trucks in LA. Spartan, Ferrera, who supplied Gil's department, came next. Then, Smeal, Ladder Tower.
they combined a whole bunch of fire truck manufacturers, ambulance manufacturers, bus manufacturers, RV manufacturers, all together into a conglomerate that they called the REV Group.
REV is not an acronym. It really is a statement. It's talk about, you know, similar to a revving car, ready for acceleration. It's about speed. It's about passion. It's about moving forward at a fast clip.
At first glance, the REV Group controls about 30% of the fire truck market. But according to Basil, their real market power is much more.
There are still small manufacturers, but they basically all buy their body of their vehicles from the REV Group. So like the REV Group basically controls how many fire trucks they can produce and basically what prices they can set.
When fire chiefs couldn't find equipment in 2020,
COVID and supply chain issues delayed delivery time to 2 years.
COVID supply chain issues took the blame. But as the world reopened, something unexpected happened. The shortage only got worse. Today, the wait is longer than ever. The truth? REV Group told investors about this strategy 2 years before the pandemic. 5% profit. That's what these companies made before acquisition. REV Group's ambition? Double it. Their method was control and efficiency. Proprietary technology to lock in part sales. Then, standardize their offerings and save money by closing down the facilities that made the old equipment.
One of the largest employers in Carbon County.
Hundreds of skilled workers gone. America's fire truck manufacturing capacity vanished. Right when demand would surge to unprecedented levels.
Local governments had gotten a bunch of money through the COVID assistance that came down during those years.
Communities everywhere used that money to upgrade their aging fire fleets.
And you can imagine that that gave REV Group significant power to raise prices, because now it wasn't the REV Group competing for sales. It was customers literally competing with each other to get fire trucks from the REV Group.
You're sacrificing public safety over profits now, and I don't think the people that are the shareholders in that conglomerate actually understand that. When is enough profit enough?
Which leads us back to LA, where corporate efficiency may have met reality.
You know, while those fires were raging through LA neighborhoods, the LAFD was having 185 or so fire trucks sitting in a boneyard waiting for repairs. We could pretty much say that AIP's roll-up of the fire truck manufacturing industry made it much harder for the Los Angeles Fire Department to replace its aging fire trucks. That ultimately is what the predicament that the Los Angeles Fire Department was in when it faced the disastrous fires a couple months ago.
Consolidation's impact on the LA fires is ultimately impossible to quantify. There's wind, weather, a lack of mechanics, not enough funding for departments. But it's clear that the repair wait times aren't helping. A town over from Gill, I found myself staring at a fire truck that hadn't moved in over a year.
So basically for a year, this was just a very, very large and expensive paperweight.
Absolutely. If we had had anything that was a high-rise structure fire or anything like that, that would have been catastrophic.
Because REV Group couldn't deliver a part.
I want to say about 6 months, we finally found a company that could handle it.
The department just ordered a new truck, not from REV Group. A big reason for this was repairs. REV Group has patents on a bunch of individual components, requiring departments to buy parts from licensed distributors.
So most of the parts on the trucks, you should be able to go to your local NAPA, get the parts you need to make repairs.
I'm getting ready to leave Arkansas right now, and the scariest things are what I heard off camera. About firefighters responding to house fires with Ford pickup trucks. About going to an overturned car and their own vehicle breaking down in the process.
What happened with the REV Group should really be setting off alarm bells for local governments, because it's not just happening in fire trucks. It's happening in a whole bunch of the industries that they rely on to buy the things that they need.
Thankfully, the solution, it's not particularly complicated. Our existing antitrust laws.
It's actually illegal. It violates the antitrust laws. We actually have all the tools we need to break up REV Group and REV Group's stranglehold on the fire truck manufacturing industry.
It's just a matter of will. Earlier this decade, private equity executed the same exact strategy to anesthesiologist practices in Texas. The federal government stepped in.
In fact, in a lot of states, the state antitrust law is enforceable by the local district attorney. They might not have never ever done it, but they could. This is not far-fetched stuff.
Thanks for watching. If you like what you saw, please like and subscribe. And if you have ideas for future things we should cover, put them in the comments.